Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 150, Ken. What Woo! Do you think about them apples? The same week that we watch stuff hits 200, we get to the 150 mark. We're still a little bit behind them. I'm not sure we will ever catch up.
It, you never say never, Kevin. They could let us, you know... It's just like what was that fable about the tortoise and the hare, Kevin?
Well, they did let us do a little catching up somewhat recently, and yeah. I do think that we have found a slightly better formulas for success. I've been trying to record Wednesdays instead of Thursdays, simply to try and get more professional wrestling shows in, but. It has been more convenient for us recently to do this on Wednesday anyway.
Yeah, it seems like things have been popping up on Thursdays more. I've got a work party tomorrow.
Yeah, and I always, since I have the Blue Jackets tickets, I always end up, a popular day for hockey is Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. So I do know that it hasn't been the case yet, but I know... Well, I did try to sell one set of Thursday tickets that failed to sell.
Oh.
because the Blue Jackets aren't very good right now, and neither is Detroit, so no one wanted to go to that game.
That's a bummer.
But, yeah, Thursday night is kind of a popular hockey night, so it is nice to try and avoid that night on my end, too. And it does leave things like the Steelers' past game in my brain slightly better than if we recorded on Thursday.
Mm. Yes, there's been more of this. It does feel like it's been a bit of a long week already, Kevin, even though it's only Wednesday.
yes, I will agree with you on that count. I do think that the holidays... They have a tendency to make the weeks seem a little crazier.
Yeah, there's more going on, which I think is probably a good thing this time of year with the weather getting a little cold for real. The day is getting shorter. It's nice to kind of keep our minds occupied on other things, I think, sometimes.
I was thinking that I needed to put my Christmas lights on for an extra half hour because of how dark it is.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh man, yeah, maybe I can keep these babies on a little bit longer.
Right.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. It's so yeah, that's a good reason to continue the holiday traditions, I'd say. I don't know why that turned into a some kind of like war on Christmas sentiment there, but
I don't think so. I mean, no. I'm talking about Christmas lights, damn it.
Okay.
I have a Christmas tree out there. It's right out there.
Yeah, I was just taking a look at that. I was just admiring that, actually.
There is no war on Christmas around here, baby.
No. No, but I guess I was taking the part of a pro Christmas partisan.
Stan.
Yeah, that's right. I stand Christmas.
Oh, man. Yeah, but, you know, a Christmas present could await, Ken. If the Steelers, I'm going to talk about the future instead of the past.
Let's live in the future, or at least, if not the present, the future, yes.
Yeah, and not the very far future.
Right.
The Steelers have a Sunday night game this coming week. It is against the Buffalo Bills. Who also have a fairly good defense, from what I understand. This one could be a very low-scoring game, because I don't think Buffalo's offense is, all that impressive.
Mm-hmm. But they seem to have been giving hard teams at least a run for their money, from what I can tell. I don't have stats in front of me, but just from, like, kind of, watching, seeing scores.
Because they played Baltimore fairly close this past week, and they did keep Lamar Jackson in check more than most teams have.
Like, I want to say that only,
yeah, it wasn't a blowout. And I want to say that they maybe only put 17 points on the board. And I that part, I guess I should look up.
Yeah, so you're right. It's not. It's definitely not a gimme game, I would say.
No, by no means. But it's also, I was not surprised a couple of weeks ago when they flexed it to a Sunday night game.
Hmm.
Because whoever wins this game essentially punches their ticket to the playoffs. With, and if Buffalo wins, they have a, they still have a shot at winning the division, because the Patriots have played really bad recently.
Oh yeah,
that's, like, that's kind of crazy how, like, the Steelers really caught the Patriots at the wrong time in many, many ways.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because it wasn't the Steelers' defense wasn't the Steelers' defense that it is right now, and the offense, though not great, is accomplishing stuff these days, at least.
Yeah, so the Bills were within 7 points of the Ravens, 24-17.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, wow.
Yeah, I thought that it was a fairly close score.
Yeah, it looks like they have been keeping it pretty close. They lost to 6 to the Patriots. Yeah, so...
Yeah, but they are the number one. Buffalo is the number one wild card currently, and the Steelers leapfrog them if they beat them.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet, because then we'd have that head to head as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty big game, especially since that the next week I believe the Steelers have the Jets. And then possibly Baltimore resting people, which has been put back on the possibility list since the Patriots lost another one. And now the Ravens have the tiebreaker on them because they beat them. Well, and I think they're a one win ahead too now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty good, because then I guess if we were, you know, fifth place in the playoffs, we would have at least one home. We could potentially have a home game. Is that accurate? In the playoffs?
No, you've got to win the division to get a home game.
Oh, okay.
And they are not in any way winning the division.
No.
Like, even if Baltimore somewhat allows them to win by resting some key players on week 17.
What that would mean, we get a lower ranked team then?
Yeah. We'd get the lesser of the division. We'd get the worst division winner.
Okay. Yeah, so that is still a reason to hope to get the higher rank in the playoffs, higher seed in the playoffs, I guess. So, yeah, that was, I guess that was a pretty, I don't know. It's been a memorable season, I would say, Kevin. And last week's game was part of the whole story, I would say.
Yeah, and now we can talk a little bit about the past. And, yeah, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, we picked a hell of a season to roll with this whole let's talk about the Steelers on OPA anyway. since we did it off mic years previous.
Right.
And, yeah, like, it is definitely, whether they win or lose that game against Buffalo, like, this season has been just something wild. I mean, Mike Tomlin, at a minimum, since they're 8-5 right now, like, he has secured a not losing season again in some really crazy circumstances, especially on the apocalypse side, which is the offense, has been the defense has had their problems, because it is kind of crazy. As much as I love Minka Fitzpatrick and he is a better safety, like, I guess I never thought Sean Davis, who got hurt and Fitzpatrick replaced, like, I never thought he was terrible. Right. You know, I thought he's pretty good, but Fitzpatrick is just Yeah, I think we talked about last show. Like, I mean, he's kind of Polamalu-like in that he has just completely changed that defense since coming over in week four.
Yeah, they've. In a couple of articles I've read that people have made a point of how much like this, some these defensive players are like studying the tape and like understanding the offensive they're going up against and like the different plays that are going to come out of different formations that the offense is in. Like Fitzpatrick is one that somebody had had talked about, and also I think Bud Dupree.
And I guess I was kind of thinking about that. Like, you know, you've got to be set and have, you know, you've got to have like a certain number of men on the line if you're the offense. You know, you can't have this formation in the backfield. Like, there are all these different rules that kind of work against the offense to try and hide what they're doing. But the defense, like, and I don't think it's exclusive to the Steelers. Like, I do think that it's somewhat popular, and I feel like New England was the first team to do it, which is, like, the amoeba defense, where they just have, like, basically, like, five or six guys that can rush the passer on the field, and, you know, they look like they're bringing that many, and then a lot of times, especially with the Steelers this year, they back off and only bring four of them and drop two of them into coverage.
Right, just to kind of, yeah, you're right. They can
like they
disguise what they're doing.
Yeah, the defense can really disguise better what they're doing than the offense is allowed to.
But still, they have to react to the offense. So I guess,
but yeah,
having the first advantage, first movement advantage is pretty pretty big.
Yeah, and knowing what's coming is always pretty big too.
Right,
because no matter what the formation looks like, you still can't fall for the tricks of said formation.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's really been the story for a while now that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense have been playing really well, but the offense, and I nearly fell over. You know, I could have, I was close to fainting when I saw that punt return for a touchdown. The special teams actually contributing to the outcome of a game was quite a shock.
Yeah, I guess I was not entirely surprised that Antonio Brown was the last one to return a punt for the Steelers. And I was trying to think of what year they mentioned that happened in, because it was a while ago.
Right, yeah, right. What, because he hadn't been returning punts, I don't think, for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like, I want to say it was probably, like, early 2010s mm-hmm. when that had happened. And I guess I feel like it's been one of those things where, because I do follow some of the Football Outsiders stuff, they always had, you know, the DVOA ranking for special teams. And the Steelers were always terrible. And the special teams has kind of been something that we haven't talked about a lot.
No. I probably should have mentioned how bad they were, you know. Maybe that we were just trying to gloss over that, I guess.
Well, yeah, you kind of take advantage of it sometimes. But Deontay Johnson, A, himself, like, the Steelers have had a really good track record of picking up wide receivers in the draft for whatever reason. Because Emmanuel Sanders was doing really well with the Steelers, and then he got out of his rookie contract and went to Denver and blew up with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, you probably start back the whole way at Hines Ward, even though he's a different kind of receiver. And then you had Anton Randall-El, who had a pretty decent career for himself. And, you know, Antonio Brown was a sixth-round draft pick. Like, I mean, they kind of pulled him out of thin air. Juju Smith-Schuster was a second-rounder, if I'm not mistaken. So they've kind of hit with a lot of draft picks in different spots for wide receivers, I feel like, over the years. Yeah. Even if they didn't necessarily flourish in the Steelers system.
And I think that has definitely helped out because these receivers are able to kind of, it seems like they've really had the mentality of like stepping up and helping out the quarterback in terms of making catches and the effort even after the catch. It's been a nice story, Kevin. I gotta say, to see this team kind of come together.
Well,
through all this adversity.
Yeah, Johnson was their second round. Was he a second or third round pick? But he was kind of a little bit later in the draft this past year. And I always dig it when anyone from the MAC does well. So since he's a Toledo kid, I am all for it. Despite them being on the bad half of the MAC MAC conference. That punt return, that was something else. Like, I can't believe how much, and I mean, he did it in another play too. Like, he's one of those guys that he kind of causes his own problems sometimes. But when he reverses field, and he did it for the punt return, and he did it for that one, it was supposed to be a sweep to one side, right, and he turned it into like a 10-yard gain on the other side. Like, almost all of the NFL players are fast now, and somehow he's faster than most of them. And that is just in and of itself kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, if nothing else, they definitely, I think
Johnson...
You don't
see it very often when someone, starts running one way and then just spontaneously runs it back the other way and they're not, like, getting tackled for a loss. But
yeah,
for that to turn out to be a successful play, that was very exciting to see.
and to kind of carry on the special teams train, Chris Boswell has only missed two very long field goals.
That's been a great
time. I believe one was a 52 yarder, which anything over 50, it's not an automatic thing.
Yeah, I shouldn't malign Chris Boswell. He has been pretty solid this year.
And I want to say that Jordan Berry, the punter, is averaging like 48 yards or something like that. Like, he's in the top five for punting. So that is certainly aiding also in the defensive efforts when you have long punts and or pin them down inside the 10-yard line.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think overall, special teams, since you mentioned Johnson's return, like, I guess I wanted to talk about that just in general. Oh, there's not much more to say, honestly, other than that definitely hurt the Steelers some last year that Chris Boswell was terrible.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that their punting was going well for distance there. But that's it. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was being a little harsh on the special teams.
And that was kind of interesting, too, that Johnson mentioned that the punter for, was that Arizona? Yeah. That he tends to want to kick it long.
Oh, okay.
And that he actually outkicks his coverage on a regular basis because he's getting so much distance on the ball.
So that leads to bigger run backs, maybe?
So, yeah, it can leave openings because you have more time to kind of let people set up the blocks for a return.
I see.
And, I mean, I couldn't believe that, honestly, that, that Jalen Samuels was back on the field after getting his helmet popped off, like, a couple of plays earlier.
That was so weird.
And, like, Johnson kind of had a convoy. Like, he had, like, three people around him with none of the Cardinals even remotely close. Like, and that was as nice of a return as you'll see. Like, I mean, the guy pretty much coasted into the end zone.
Yeah. That was that was an exciting play. I guess another point on, like, the kind of good story of this season. You remember towards the beginning of the season, we were mostly concerned about the players that were losing in the off season with Brown and
And Le'Veon Bell officially
yes, exactly
left. Did you see that story this week?
Oh, was there further developments with Le'Veon Bell? No, I didn't see that.
Evidently, he was ruled out for flu-like symptoms this past week. But then someone photographed him out in public bowling Saturday evening. And the Jets coach was none too happy about this happening.
Yeah, you would think if you're good enough to go out and bowl, you might be good enough to, like, do your job. That's kind of my thinking on it.
Well, I would say that bowling and playing professional football are two different categories.
That's true.
But I do not think that you should be out participating in such activities if you are indeed under the weather.
Yeah, you
you're spreading germs, motherfucker. Like, what the hell?
Well,
you're not really spreading germs. Usually when you're showing signs, you're not spreading.
That's what I was going to say.
At least, you know, at least that's what they want us to believe, Ken.
That's the story we're meant to swallow. But, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I didn't really dig too deep into that one, and I don't really care. It's kind of like I didn't care. Like, evidently, Antonio Brown went on another Twitter rant and called Big Ben a loser or something like that. And it's just like, I
don't know. It's, I wonder if he is okay. I'm not sure if we'll find out, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that you just kind of shake your head. Like, I don't even know what to say at this point. You know, but again, like, it's nothing that I saw the headlines and I'm just like, whatever, man. Like, Roethlisberger's out for the season. Like, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, it's weird to go after him.
Yeah, when he's not around. Playing.
Yeah. But yeah, so we were worried about, you know, the losses to the team before the season even began. And then to, like, lose the starting quarterback. Your starting running back. You know, your backup quarterback not succeed. You have to turn to, like, this
practice team quarterback. /4th string, as I've noted, my dissension since Josh Dobbs was on the starting roster out of training camp and onto the field. And Duck Hodges, the current starting quarterback, which is still pretty bizarre to say, he is running the show now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yeah, technically he was, to me, he's a 4th-string quarterback. But you know what? I mean, we kind of mentioned it last week. Like, the Steelers defense is good enough. If the offense doesn't screw up, they can probably win most games, or at least be in most games.
It seems like he's kind of what people might call a game manager quarterback. I know that gets thrown around a lot.
There is that. It's kind of interesting. Like, in a lot of ways you go, well, what would have happened had he started over Mason Rudolph when this whole season, you know, when Roethlisberger went down? Like, does he get even more comfortable as the weeks go along? Like, I don't know. Like, is this his ceiling? Maybe it is. I think both of them are, you know, too young to do, you know, to draw any definitive conclusions by the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Roethlisberger planning to be back next year. You know, really, it leaves everyone in an awkward position.
And the question mark, I guess, is when Roethlisberger does come back, is he going to be kind of his self in peak condition? Or, you know, he was not necessarily having a huge success at quarterback, I would say, in the 6 quarters prior to him being injured.
Well, he's kind of had a rough go of it, I feel like, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, he's had, they, you know, the makeup of the offense has had to change because they don't have Roethlisberger out there throwing it like 50 to 60 times a game. Right. And that, their, just their offensive dynamic is way more balanced than it was just because they were throwing so much. And
maybe Roethlisberger had too much influence on the offense. I mean, I don't know. Just putting that out there as a possible hypothesis.
It's possible, but I mean, he's also had a lot of input into a lot of different offensive coordinators' offenses. You know, at this point, you know, I know that things kind of ended in a fiery crash with Todd Haley, but I do feel like,
well, I guess even he would maybe have a say in who the offensive coordinator is. I
mean, well, yeah, he did. So he did have a bit of a say, I think, in, Randy Fichtner becoming the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. So I think he would have some leverage there in terms of calling some, you know, passing plays, but,
yeah. And, the newbies do not have this chance at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, yeah, having a good running game always helps a defense.
Oh, for sure. Cause
it just wastes more time than the passing game.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, and I guess to get back to the Duckman himself, though, like, it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, he could be a guy that gets better going into the playoffs and that they get more comfortable with him at quarterback. Because I do feel like they are opening up the offense a little bit for Mason Rudolph when he got popped by, what's his name, in the Baltimore game. I'm trying. I can't remember his name. He's the guy that used to play for the Seahawks, but Earl Thomas.
Okay.
You know, I do think that that was kind of a changing point for Rudolph of his performance. Kind of, it was going uphill up to that point to me, and then kind of took a nosedive for the most part after that moment. So that was like four or five games into his starting resume. And what was this? Was this his second official start or third?
I think I want to say third.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, I guess it'll be interesting. He still has another couple of games in some ways to catch up to Rudolph's experience in the NFL. And he's definitely been more willing to throw. It's kind of funny that the numbers don't look any different. Like, he's not really throwing a lot of deep balls. But he's throwing enough to keep their, you know, the opponent's defense guessing when they're going to go deep.
Yeah, I mean,
because I want to say he only had like 150 or 170 some odd yards of passing this past week. But zero interceptions is a huge number to have.
Yeah. I mean, he can
game manager.
Be a game managing quarterback. Having a great defense is going to be a game managing quarterback's, I'd say, friend for sure. And he's got receivers that can make big plays at time, you know, from time to time. And I think they have been, you know, doing that more.
Yeah, and it will help. Supposedly, Juju Smith-Schuster could play this coming Sunday. Supposedly, James Conner might be available also. Although I hope the latter is definitely 100% healed before getting back on the field.
And I also hope that they continue with this kind of current way scheme that they're, you know, I don't know, running back by committee, if you will. Kind of putting in different running backs, you know, cycling through people. It seems to be working, and it makes a lot of sense too, it's got to be, you know, a little disorienting for the defense, I would think. Like, different running styles, kind of.
Styles know, make fights.
Can't get into
rhythm. Yeah, and I mean, Benny Snell has certainly carried the load in that department. But that Kareth White that they picked up, I mean, they keep on going Bears practice squad, and you're like, you got to be kidding me, man.
Like, yeah, he was looking pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's how, like, things have, for all the ugliness of the beginning of the season, things have come up roses for even stuff like that, where a guy that was on someone else's practice squad that you had to sign because of so many injuries at running back is pulling through for you. You know, like, I think he might be below Duck Hodges in, like, what level of, like, he might be, like, fifth or sixth string as far as the running backs go.
Yeah, another team's practice squad, that gives you, like, an automatic plus one to your string level. So, yeah, she's at least a fifth or sixth string at this point.
And I guess speaking of the running backs, one of them is Trey Edmonds, and it did remind me, the other story of going into this Buffalo game is Terrell Edmonds and Trey Edmonds play for the Steelers, and their brother and plays for the Bills, and I can't think of what his name is offhand. I think it starts with a T also.
Wait, there's three brothers in the NFL?
Yes.
Wow.
And Trey Edmonds is one of the running backs, and I believe he's been in there for pass protection a lot because he's the best at that. Again, like, if you don't have a complete back, this stuff does make a lot of sense to go by committee. And then Terrell Edmonds is the other starting safety opposite Minkah Fitzpatrick there.
Yeah,
and I can't think of what their brother plays.
I just knew about the Watt brothers, JJ and TJ.
Yeah, there are a lot of brother combinations in the NFL because they're the two. I can't think of what their last name is. They play for Seattle.
Oh, they both play on the same team. That's nice.
Yeah, and they both play defense. One's a defensive back, and the other is a defensive lineman. And the one that's the defensive lineman doesn't have one hand. Like, he was born without a hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive. Like, that, it's killing me that I don't remember the name offhand.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be kind of cool, I would say, to be playing NFL football on the same team with your brother. I would say not many people can say that.
Yeah, I think the list is pretty short. Oh, Tremaine Edmonds is the middle linebacker for the Bills.
Okay.
So, yeah, they are very alliterative in their family for naming.
Wait a minute. Is this who you were talking about for the...
Oh, yeah. Griffin. Yeah, Shaquem Griffin.
Shaquem Griffin and Shaquille Griffin.
Yep.
They are twin brothers. That is wild.
Yeah, that was one of those stories. I do not watch a lot of pre-game stuff, but I think there's like 5 minutes before a Seahawks game or something like that that I had flipped on, and I was just, you know, probably doing some house chores or whatever and listened to their story. And it's pretty impressive. Like, it's pretty neat.
Huh. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, the Edmonds brothers, all three of them going to be playing in one NFL game with two of them on one side and one on the other, which is, that's pretty crazy too. I did like, speaking of the Watt brothers, there were some little kids somewhere that dressed up each as one of the Watt, like there are three brothers and they all dressed up like the Watt brothers. So the one was a Steeler, the one was a Charger, and the other was a Texan. I thought that was pretty funny and cute.
Yeah, that's I like the concept too. That's the conceptual costumes are always going to get extra points with me.
Oh man, but yeah, this season has it's been a wild one, and there's more in store here.
Yeah, I guess that's
three more games officially. I mean, there are no promise of playoffs yet. They really they need this win on Sunday to really kind of solidify their chances at it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously going into the playoffs and who knows what after that would make the season even better. But at this point, I feel like I'm pretty happy with the team, no matter what happens. It could have been a very disappointing season, but it's really turned around.
Yeah, it is not going to be a disappointing season. Like you said, at a minimum, it is not a disappointing season. Like, I see a lot of hope for the future, if nothing else.
Yeah,
which is a pretty wild thing,
especially like you say, from coming up of last off season. I believe we were both pretty much in the like, well, I don't know. I guess
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But feeling a little bit better about things now.
Well, Ken, one thing very OPA related that is happening.
That's right.
There is a store by the name of Sheetz. It is a convenience store.
That's true.
It is founded in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Headquartered, yes, in our hometown.
The origins of Stunt Granny go back to Altoona, Pennsylvania also. So it is definitely our convenience store of choice. It has been in some places in Ohio for quite some time. Because there was one up near Youngstown on my way to Kent that I would stop in occasionally.
Yeah, I've stopped at that one as well.
More recently, on the way back to Altoona, for cheap gas, I tend to stop in Cambridge, Ohio.
Oh, I didn't know there's a Sheetz there.
Yes. Yes, there is. And it's the last good place to get cheap gas before you go to West Virginia or Pennsylvania. Throwing that one out there if you want to stop at a Sheetz. Or the other myriad of gas stations that are at that exit.
All right, pro tip there.
Sheetz announced today, video and all, that they are going to be coming to the our now home, which has been our home for longer than Altoona at this juncture. Well, no, you stayed at home for school, so at least part of it. You might be a little more even up than I am.
Yeah, it's at least halfway for me.
Yeah, I'm over the halfway mark at this juncture of being in Ohio, and definitely. 21 years in Columbus is quite a number to get into.
Yeah.
Sheetz is coming to Columbus, and that is pretty exciting. The only thing that is disappointing is that it's not going to be coming until 2021, Ken.
Boo. They get us all excited, and then they let us know it's not going to be for at least another year. And possibly more like two, if it's towards the end of 2021.
I guess I can understand maybe trying to take your time to figure out a site, but it really shouldn't take that long. You know, I do feel like it's kind of interesting. I think they don't always seem to do well in bigger cities, like, because I don't feel like they do well in Pittsburgh. You know, like they do well in a lot of Pennsylvania, but for some reason, I don't feel like they've done that great in Pittsburgh itself. So that'll be kind of an interesting thing. Like, I do feel like Columbus is, they're trying to be more centralized with their housing by building all the stuff that they've been building downtown. But I do feel like there are a lot of suburbs. And that would suit the Sheetz clientele better than those in downtown Columbus. And we're both kind of on the suburb end of things.
Yeah.
You're a little closer in town than I am.
True. I feel like they could throw a Sheetz up around this area. That would be fitting right in, I would think. It would be close enough for me to get to anyway, so I wouldn't complain. Sheets, if you're listening, look to Gahanna. That's
yeah,
that's where you want to be.
We're already making a sales pitch for for Sheets. I would be more than happy to trade in my Speedy Rewards card for a well, I already have a Sheets card. I just use it far more frequently if they're in the neighborhood.
One thing that, you know, for those who are not in the know, you know, it is a gas station. We're talking about Sheetz in a convenience store. But they're also home of something called a MTO, or made-to-order sandwiches. And,
yeah, it's essentially like having a Subway in the store.
Except...
But it's better than the Subway.
It is better, but then you also get to... order your food through these touchscreen ordering systems, which they've had for a long time.
Yeah, that was one of those things where a couple of my coworkers, when McDonald's was starting to set those up in my former place of employment, they're like, who would want to use those? And I do think that it's weird that the likes of McDonald's and Wendy's give you the option of ordering on the touchscreen or in person. Because Sheetz is like, no, you're just ordering on touchscreen. No one is taking your order. You just need to go here. Okay. Like, when you have one place to go, you just go there. Like, when you have two places, I feel a little confused. Like, if there's a human person there and I pass him up for a machine, I kind of feel douchey.
Have you been to... They do that at Shake Shack out at Easton. I don't know if you've...
I talked to a real human being out there.
Oh, yeah. I think you can order as well. But when we were there, there was a bit... It looked like there was a bit of a line, so we just ordered on the
touch screen
there. Yeah. But yeah, it seems to be more increasingly an option at places. But
yeah,
when Sheetz debuted this, I want to say this was back in the 90s that they started their touchscreen technology, which really felt like some futuristic shit there back in the day.
Their screens are really good and really easy to read because. Honestly, I have tried to use McDonald's a couple of times, and I don't feel like they have it set up as well as Sheetz does.
Mm.
It's probably because Sheetz does have, like, years of experience.
Yeah, I would say so.
Setting this stuff up. And it's kind of a new thing for McDonald's. Because you can't always find the special, especially on McDonald's. And I'm trying to remember... I don't know if it's a Taco Bell or a Wendy's we went into, and I think because of the line we ordered on a touchscreen, and I had a hard time finding the specials on it, and I've never had that problem in a Sheetz.
Yeah.
And really, Sheetz can, they do also, because it was kind of funny that one of the wife's co-workers you know, it was a very popular item at Sheetz before the made-to-orders really started popping up. Their hot dogs.
Oh, right.
Were a big thing.
I think they used to be known as death dogs in some circles.
I am a hot dog connoisseur. of sorts, and I approve of the Sheets dog. Unfortunately for Sheets, I am usually driving while ingesting whatever I buy there, and hot dogs just don't make for good driving food. Like, you really need both hands for a hot dog.
Yeah, especially if you're adding on some toppings, things can get a little messy.
Yeah, and I mean, they even kind of have your Coney dog style now. If you want to go that route. But for them, it's not the same. I'm going to hit Skyline for that. If I'm going for chili with lots of cheddar cheese, it's definitely Skyline time.
Oh, we used to get those, I remember, quite a bit, actually. Now that I'm thinking back, I remember getting, like, sauerkraut and onions and all kinds of stuff on those hot dogs.
Yeah, there were a lot of options to put on the dogs.
Yeah, so...
it kind of makes it a little Dirty Franks-y, too. I don't think it's as good as Dirty Franks, no. Mind you.
Yeah, we should follow that up with a little qualifier, but...
yeah, a huge qualifier. I do not want to get myself in trouble with Dirty Franks, ever.
Yeah, they're going to come after us. but it is still a good place to get different stuff on your hot dogs, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... And they do have a fairly good breakfast. Like, I don't think it's as good as McDonald's, but their schmuffins and their schmiskets... are pretty tasty in their own right. And I do like that they have a chicken maple patty. Like, that is the one thing. Like, they kind of have some healthier options that are easier to access at Sheets that I go for, as opposed to getting the great fattiness it is at McDonald's.
Yes, and their tater tots are actually really good also. Throwing that out there. Which, you know, it does bring to mind, though, like, how much can a business expand and still remain the same business? You know what I mean? Like, we were discussing this before we recorded tonight, and your wife had mentioned that they were supposedly all locations of Sheets were run by a family member of the Sheets family. We were debating whether that was feasible, given how many locations there are. But you know, that would be one way, I guess, to try to keep things in the business running the same, or to be up to a certain standard at all locations, to run a certain way, right? But there has to be some kind of limit to that, wouldn't you think?
That still strikes me as a little strange, like that the family members run all of them, just because there's a large number, like the one near my parents' house is Sheets number 100, and I know that they're well above that at this point. Like, I've got to think that they're in the thousands, because they even... maybe 1,000?
It could be.
Or something like, I would think that they're in four digits. Maybe it's not a high number, because there are some on our way to my brother and sister's places who both live in Virginia.
Right. It's not like, just Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and there is a little territory where my older brother's family in Richmond, they get Wawa's and not Sheets, so they are traitors to the to Pennsylvanians. Well, to Western Pennsylvanians. To Steelers fans everywhere, they are traitors for going with Wawa, which is a Philadelphia staple.
I did see that there were some comments on the story saying that they would rather their Wawa had been moving to Columbus. And, you know, I say fie to them, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't tried, but it can't be it can't be that much different.
I would think not.
You know, like, even if the quality is the same, and I'm sure that it probably is, like, to me, it's still bizarre that there aren't convenience stores similar to Sheetz all over the place. Like, I'm not quite sure why they've gotten them and Wawa, honestly, it would seem. Even if I've never really gone to Wawa, I might have paid for gas at one or something like that. But
I feel like I remember stopping at one when we were driving back from the Outer Banks, but it was probably like 3 in the morning, and I was just like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. You know, come back to the car and keep driving.
Yeah, I feel like I got gas at a Wawa sometime when I did go down to visit my older brother's family. So, but I didn't really try their food or anything like that. Right. Or, and if they're more about the, in Sheetz, they do love their coffee too. And I do know that a lot of people love their coffee. Like, because I'm not a coffee person, like, I'm kind of whatever as far as that stuff goes.
Right.
But, yeah, they're kind of known for a lot of things. But I guess it was always surprising to me that convenience stores in general were never something that was here in Columbus. Like, I don't feel like a UDF ever tried to do anything like that. Even these new, like, BP cafes and stuff of that nature, like, I don't feel like they catch the essence of what Wawa / Sheetz is. You know? Because, like, it really is, like, a restaurant attached to a convenience store. And, like, those places might have some limited food options, but, I mean, this kind of has everything. Like, it's... Yeah. It's kind of weird and awesome all at the same time.
Remember, they used to have like a dine-in area there at the Sheetz on Pleasant Valley Boulevard there at 17th Street.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah, that is still there.
Oh, yeah.
And because I do remember the good old days when the Sheetz 100 was built near my parents, where they did have two video game machines down there, so we could go down there to get our fix. Because I also believe that this was after Branda's Pizza went down because their owner was arrested for arson.
Wow.
So yeah, that
pizza place was into organized crime there. That's interesting.
Yeah, who would have guessed? Pizza place, organized crime never happens in Italian families.
Certainly not.
But that's where we had gone to play video games a lot, was the pizza shop. But Sheetz gave us a second outlet so that we didn't need to go the whole way to Aladdin's in the Logan Valley Mall.
Yeah. Boy, that place was really a... and then what was it? Crocodile Alley came in after that?
I believe so, yeah. I think Crocodile Alley came along late enough. That might have come down after the Great Mall burning down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, and we can't forget Chuck E. Cheese, of course.
Chuck E. Cheese was definitely a source of video gaming quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like my heart is still always set with Aladdin's being my first love of video gaming locations.
And of course, flash forward to 2019. And tomorrow... our holiday party is taking place at the 16-bit arcade. So it'll be kind of like everything old is new again here, Kevin.
Yeah, 16-bit's a pretty nice place. I've got to admit, they kind of... I feel like sometimes they skip the generation of games that I really like. Because you can get like the Street Fighter type, which I am okay at, but never really got very good at. Or you get, like, Burger Time and Dig Dug and things of that nature that are way before it. And though I played those games, I feel like my golden age of gaming was, like, in between those two time frames. When I could have been a player, baby. I could have been earning money as a video game player instead of an architect.
Well, back in those days, yeah, there wasn't too many professional video game players. I guess Billy Mitchell, if that counts.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if he was officially one at that point or not. Right. That was pretty early on in the video game wars.
Beyond that, I would say it was zero. So, kids today, you're lucky you get to play video games for money if you're really good at it.
Yeah, if not, they still shell out plenty of money like we did for video games.
Well, apparently they're shelling out a lot more video games, money for video games, Kevin, with all these like microtransactions and stuff they're putting into video games. I was just watching some videos on it, and it's kind of screwed up, really. I mean, like, paying people, like, you pay like 50, 60 bucks for a game if you're buying like a console game, and then you are going to like have extra stuff that you can spend money on in addition to that, that might like make the game go faster. Like, you would have to like grind less. You could pay money. Like, that just seems messed up to me.
Yeah, it's a very popular thing. Like, I mean, even the free games on the phone, hey, grind less, buy this stuff.
Well, I feel like that's like, where it started, right? Yeah, on the phone, mobile games.
Yeah.
But it's even moved into, like, mainstream, like, big games.
Do you need to buy Fortnite?
No, that one's, like, a free one.
Oh, okay. Because for my nephews, I get a lot of... the last 2 years, I've gotten them just credit cards to pay for upgrades in Fortnite. But I guess I was wondering if, hey, because I don't know that much about, you know, since I still haven't had a gaming system since like Sega Genesis, really. I don't count that like 1 year of having a PlayStation after PlayStation 2 had come out. So I guess I did have some PlayStation experience.
Yeah, I remember you did have a PlayStation there for a while.
I think I might still... No, I think I recycled that finally. But anyway, yeah, haven't really had too many console games. But like something like Red Dead Redemption, can you buy additional stuff in that or no?
I don't know.
Or are you thinking of other console games that you get to pay for? I mean, because Minecraft isn't console, correct?
They do have a console version of that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I know there's different skins and stuff you can buy in there. I mean, there's lots of stuff you can buy on, I think some Star Wars game was kind of infamous for it. It came out recently where, and there's also this thing called loot boxes, which like you'll get like random items.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and they say that like appeals to, that can like trigger people who have like gambling problems and kind of like make them spend like crazy amounts of money.
Oh,
so it's kind of messed up.
I guess I wondered why people would ever buy those things, because I do play Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, and there are kind of those type of purchases available, because it says like you can get anywhere between 5 to 50 of this one thing, and it's just like no. Like, that is way too much of a variable, and at least from what I've been told, you usually get the low end, which is not shocking.
They're controlling the outcome and setting the price, but saying that it could be, I don't know, could be anywhere in this range. We're going to decide, but, you know, it could be somewhere in here.
Yeah, you could be getting a bargain. Maybe you're not. And you know what? I'm a cost surety kind of guy. You know, if you give me a price point and I see what I'm getting, I'm cool with buying it. But yeah, I need everything to be on firm ground here. None of this, it might pay out, it might not, bullshit.
And some people are wired a little differently, to a great degree at times. So,
yeah, which can be
unfortunate for them.
I guess that does make sense why they why they have those things now. People with gambling problems do that shit.
But it's messed up. It's pretty messed up, really. I don't know.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, like any business, you can just go, oh, that's messed up. Because honestly, the business that we are consuming right now depends heavily on heavy drinkers.
Oh, we're talking.
Yeah, I was gonna transition out of the show altogether here.
Sure, let's do it.
But I do know that even the craft beer industry depends upon the people that drink a whole lot of beer and that probably have a problem. I would list myself under not having a problem at all. Again, when some weeks you keep the beer total under the number of days in the week.
Right.
I definitely do not have a problem. And even the weeks that I do go over that number, I don't think it's terribly high. Maybe 14 in a week? Like, I mean, because I definitely wouldn't count doing a flight as 5 beers just because you're not getting... I'm always going to... A beer to me is always going to be 12 ounces.
Yeah. So it's like...
So really, like, if you get a flight of 3, that's... slightly over a beer, typically 5 ounces.
But you're saying if it weren't for the, you know, heavy drinkers, breweries wouldn't be in business.
Yeah, well, and even Budweiser, you know, even the big beer companies depend upon heavy drinkers. You know, I feel like they supply like somewhere between 70-80% of the sales.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's really high. Maybe it's in the high 60s. But I feel like, I know that I've seen, the numbers are, it's pretty crazy. Like, it's well over half. So, yeah, so unfortunately, you know, you depend upon the extremes in your businesses, unfortunately, well, in some businesses.
Yeah.
But this beer has been sitting in my fridge, well, sitting, I think, in my pantry for a while. And I've wanted to try it. It's Go-Kart Ghost Super Pale Ale from Columbus Brewing Company. And it's been pretty tasty. Like, it's very light. It's subtle. It's another one of these... you know, a lot of pale ales, I feel like they, especially the super pale ales, they either get super fruity or super piney, and this is neither of those. But it does kind of have a little bit of a twinge of sweetness, and it just kind of has a nice kind of mild hop to it.
I would put this one in the same category, Kevin. Beta Flash, New England IPA, coming out of Powell, Ohio, Noctera Brewing Company.
Yeah, they're one of my, because I want to say that they're only about 2 years old, but they're one of my favorite younger breweries.
That's,
and because I want to say that some of these older ones, like North High, got started in 2010, so... I feel like some of these are going to be hitting 10 years soon.
There's a crazy amount of businesses started, you know, I wonder what the percentage of, like, small businesses in this area that are breweries, because I feel like it would not be, you know, unnoticeable. It would, I'm thinking like 5% or higher.
I believe at last count for the Columbus Ale Trail, which does include some surrounding areas, it's 43 breweries within like a half hour drive.
That's a lot. That's probably more than, say, let's see. All right. Is there more breweries or hospitals?
There's more hospitals. I don't know if you count
43 seems like a lot, but I don't know.
Well, maybe the hospitals are much bigger than the breweries, though.
True, true.
They house a lot more people in Riverside than probably all 43 of those breweries. Total. And that's not counting, you know, Ohio State or Mount Carmel.
Yeah. No, there's some big
hospitals. Or Children's.
Yeah, right.
Which I know that it's specific, but there's a lot of hospital capacity around here, even if the number of hospitals total is lower than number of breweries. And I don't know how you define hospital, too. Are you counting urgent cares or outsourced ERs?
Yeah, I mean, that's. I guess I was thinking hospitals.
Yeah, I bet you if you're talking hospitals proper, there's probably more breweries by number than there are hospitals.
Okay.
Well, I don't think there are 43 hospitals. Right. Like, full-on hospitals.
Or even, I don't know. There's more than 43 convenience stores, obviously.
Definitely. And I can't wait for one of them to be Sheetz.
Bringing it all together.
Okie dokie, grandkids. That's at Gozer33. I'm at DeFrango11. The brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
See ya.